This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
But I am looking forward to talking. Does a great job covering the Knicks for the Post. And a tough loss last night for the Knicks in the fact that they had the lead, they had a big lead, they had a 19-point lead that they let slip away, but then retook the lead and went up by double digits. Wembanyama goes out with an injury early in the fourth, and I said, all right, well, now they should be able to get home. All they got to do is stop Champagne from making threes, and they should be able to slow this offense down. That didn't quite happen. So they came up short. They lost to a phenomenal team on the road. Again, not looking to take them apart because of last night's loss, but it was a little disappointing. I'll see if my guest agrees with me. Dexter Henry from the New York Post here with me on The Fan. Am I fair to say last night's loss was disappointing, Dexter?
Yeah, what's up, Mac, man? I do think it's fair to say that. I absolutely think it's fair to say it was disappointing, and I think it's because a lot of how the Knicks lost, right? A couple things you look at. One, Wemby leaves the game, so Spurs are without their best player. That makes that disappointing. The other thing, too, I think that makes it disappointing, Jody, is the fact that they just weren't able to get stops down the stretch. And I think some fans and some of us in the media have become a little bit concerned about the defense. And I think that's fair, too. It's a defense right now that is 16th in the NBA in defensive rating. It has shown flashes at times of potentially being a top 10 defense, but they're not quite there yet. And I think what you'd like to see is, can it trend towards that by the end of the season? I think this is a really good Knicks team. But if they're going to try to get to where they want to go, which is winning an NBA championship, the defense has to be better. And I think that's the main takeaway I had, that why last night was so disappointing, because they were just unable to get stops, particularly down the stretch in the fourth quarter.
How much of that is, and this is going to sound like excuse making, and if I'm overstepping, please tell me, no Hart, no Mitchell Robinson, two of their better defensive players. I'm with you just overall, because Hart and Robinson have played, and there are still some games where the Knicks throw in a bad defensive effort. But those were two key guys we're missing. How much of a price did they pay with them out of the lineup?
Yeah, there was absolutely a price. And I think, Jody, you have to look at this loss to the Spurs, which is, who, let's give credit to the Spurs. They're a really good team. And even though I said it was disappointing with Wemby going down, you have to put the loss in context. And no Hart, no Mitchell Robinson. If you looked at that NBA Cup championship game, Mitchell Robinson was huge in that game, right? His physicality, his ability to get offensive rebounds really turned that game, along with Tyler Kolek. And so, yeah, it is a difference. We know how much Josh Hart means to this team. I think we've also seen the value of Mitchell Robinson, even in his limited minutes, and what he's the lead at, which is offensive rebounding. But yes, do I think that if they had Mitchell Robinson, could that have changed a possession or two? This was a two-point loss, right? So we're talking about a one-possession game. Could that have changed things? Absolutely. But you also want to see them learn how to win games without those guys when they can. So, yeah, I don't think that's excuse-making. I think that's just putting the loss in context with who they had, who they didn't have. And, you know, it's just disappointing because they went up big and they didn't hold on to the lead and didn't get defensive stops, but they were without two of their better defensive players, and that definitely is going to hurt them.
Let me ask you about a specific guy who unfortunately fouled out last night, Karl-Anthony Towns, who's having a damn good season for them as of right now, almost 12 rebounds a game to go with his 22 points. But he does commit fouls, and sometimes he's a little slow on the help or the jump out, and last night he got himself in trouble a couple different times. I know I saw a couple Knicks fans on social media saying, why are they picking on him? Why are they always calling fouls on him? Well, sometimes he puts himself in that position, and he also likes to complain a little bit too much for my liking, that I don't think he's getting any benefits of the doubt from the referee when it's that borderline judgment call, almost seems like the whistle's being blown. Is that a fair critique of Towns, not just his overall abilities or lack thereof on defense, but also the fact that he might be hurting himself with the refs?
Yeah. The reason I think it's a fair critique is it's a critique I've made numerous times on my show about Cat, right? The thing about him, Jody, is we know what he can do, how gifted he is offensively. The key is, can he stay on the floor? And that's what's going to be key for the Knicks in the playoffs when you look at him as being one of the most important players. The thing you worry about is, okay, we know everything that he can do, but will he be there when I need him to be there? And a lot of it is these ticky-tack fouls, right? Sometimes it'll be on the offensive end where he's got the ball and he's a little bit out of control. Sometimes it'll also be on the defensive end where he's reaching in, where he's not supposed to. He's overly aggressive, you know, trying to defend the screen. Now, I will give him credit on this. Cat's been better this year defensively to me than he was last year. And part of that, I think, is he's a little bit more comfortable not playing in drop coverage as he was under Tom Thibodeau. And I think that's helped him a ton. Right, Jody? But still, I think it probably drives you crazy and also some other Knicks fans crazy is that you're like, man, if he could just cut down on the silly fouls and stay on the floor, this could help this team because we have seen good moments of him play defense. He played really good defense through that NBA Cup run. He has got to get credit there. But when the Knicks really need him, especially in a game, I'll bring it up again, with Wemby going out, this is where you want to see Cat step up where San Antonio doesn't have the size. And then he fouls out in this game and wasn't able to be on the floor for stretches, and that definitely hurt the Knicks. So I think it's more than a fair critique, and I think it's something that Cat has said, Mike Brown has talked about as well, too. It's something that has to be cleaned up by him, hopefully before the playoffs. The only problem I'll say, Jody, is this is a lot of who he's been for most of his career. Although he was really good during that Western Conference Finals run with Minnesota a couple years ago, he's got to just cut down on the silly fouls.
All right, as you mentioned, a little bit of a different defense this year, Thibodeau's defense as compared to Mike Brown's defense. What do you think is better? What do you think is not near as good? Do you think that Brown will tinker with his defense at all going forward? Or this is the defense, we just need to work on it, we'll get better at it. How do you compare this year's defense to last year's defense?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
So, last year, I think the problem was the guys were, you know, you had new pieces too, right? With Mikal Bridges getting adjusted to the defense. I would say the team 2 years ago had a higher defensive floor, I would say. I think this year's team, I think, can be a top 10 defense. I've been saying this for quite some time because I like the ability of what Brown is doing to sort of hide some of the weaknesses with Brunson and Cat on the floor. And I think you kind of mentioned something. You asked me if he would tinker, Jody. Yes, because Mike Brown has tinkered with everything in this Knicks lineup thus far. And I like that he does that. So I think what you're seeing from Mike Brown, the reason I think this defense can be better than last year, is the fact that Mike Brown is willing to look and see at what lineups work. I think a lot of times fans just talk about offensively and what lineup should close. But he's also looking to see who can help get stops in different situations against different matchups. And that's why I think you're seeing where they are right now, right? They're 16th, they're middle of the pack in the NBA. They have played a tougher schedule to this point than they did last year. But I think the defense could trend better, especially when you see more Mitchell Robinson. You also have to remember Mitchell Robinson hasn't played a lot of back-to-backs. He also has not played this week. So I think you'll see things get better as guys get even more comfortable. And Mike Brown is also using the depth, which they're starting to seem like they have with Mohamed Diawara emerging, Kevin McCullough Jr., Tyler Colek, the young guys contributing. I think that can help guys be better defensively. They'll be a bit better rested. And so those are things I like. I do think it'll trend the right way, and I really am a fan of how Mike Brown has been handling lineups and rotations in general. So it wouldn't shock me if the Knicks were better defensively as they got closer to the end of the year.
This is going to sound like a weird question, but I mean it. Perhaps do the Knicks have too much depth Right now, they, as you mentioned, Clarkson has been good. Shamet, when he's healthy. Kolek has come in and given him stuff. Even Diwari this week, he actually got off to a good start and then couldn't get back into the game. I didn't quite understand that.
Mm-hmm.
I like the depth on this Knicks team a lot, but the more you have, the tougher it is to juggle and keep guys in rhythm and the like. Do you think that is a potential issue? Now, it could be very advantageous. Maybe they can upgrade, get a one key piece at the trade deadline. They have a couple of guys maybe opened up eyes of other teams who would like to get their hands on them. Do the Knicks have too much depth?
Oh, let me address that last part that you made, too. That I think is a really good one, right? Like the fact that some of these young players have emerged could change maybe what they could do or cannot do in the upcoming towards the upcoming trade deadline.
True.
Some of these younger pieces might start to look a little bit more attractive. I think it's a good point that you raised there, Jody, because that might change them. And I think it's coming to the point, to then get to the first part of your question, where you can look at this Knicks team and the way some of these young players, Tyler Kolek, maybe he's answered the backup point guard question, maybe Mohamed Diawara and Kevin McCullough Jr. are looking at guys you say, okay, they need some wing depth. Maybe they're okay there. Now, it's a lot to ask those guys to trust them and see how they'll handle big spots in the playoffs. That's the unknown question. So you might actually be looking at this next team and say, oh, well, maybe they don't need to make a move at the deadline. Now, I think that we'll have to wait and see, and that depends how the Knicks evaluate these young players. But what I will do to answer the first part of your question, do they have too much depth? I think in today's NBA, with the second aprons and all that, all the stuff with the salary cap, the way you have to manage it, you can never have too much depth. Having a lot of guys to play and worrying about that, to me, that's a good problem to have. That's what you want to have. And you also want to have the confidence that if a guy goes down, and I think this is what Mike Brown is starting to instill, Jody, Hart's not there. Mitchell Robinson's not there last night. Sure, Diawara could step in the starting lineup. You mentioned he got off to a good start in his first couple of threes. You have a guy like Kevin McCullough Jr. who come in and plays a lot like Josh Hart, crashes the boards, is playing good defensively. If there's ever, God forbid, and knocking on wood for the Knicks fans here, there's another kind of injury that's serious in that nature, you can trust some of these guys. And I think you can develop and build depth, and I think that's part of what the Knicks are doing. And I think if you look at the best teams last year, the two teams that went to the finals, they were playing 10-11 deep into the finals. And I think now you have to have depth more than ever in the NBA. So the Knicks having McCullough, Diawara, Kolek, these guys emerge, it's a good problem to have, in my opinion.
Maybe the only guy on the Knicks bench who I've kind of been disappointed by, and I can be because I watched him a lot last year in Philly, is Yabusele. I thought that was a nice offseason signing for the Knicks. I thought the Sixers would actually miss Yabusele. He hadn't done a whole hell of a lot for the Knicks, and oh, by the way, Sixers are less pained without him than I thought they would be. So maybe I have too high an opinion of Gershon Yabusele, but he hadn't done a whole hell of a lot. Is it like I suggested, they have too much depth? Is he not a fit? Does he not do what the coaching staff is wanting him to do? I thought he'd be averaging more than under 10 minutes a game. What's up with Yabusele?
Yeah, it's weird. I thought too, Jody, that was a good signing. I actually thought he was a guy the Knicks should have targeted in free agency like they did. I like the signing. He has just not been a good fit. It's simple as that. You know, I was talking the other day with my friend Keith Pompey, who covers the Sixers for the Philadelphia Inquirer, and you know, I was asking, you know, what's up with Yabusele? And you know, nobody knows. He was such a good fit last year with the Sixers, and you know, everybody around the Sixers raved about him. Sometimes that happens, right? Where it's just not a good fit. What I will say, though, is the last couple of games, he's gotten a couple more minutes. He's hit some shots. I think with the way, to go back to your previous question you asked me about the depth, I think with the way some of these young guys are emerging, if he's just not a good fit and Mike Brown can't find minutes for him, and you're seeing Mike Brown play other guys like Diawara, like McCullough Jr., basically ahead of him, he's a piece where the Knicks could move on from him. They may have to attach a couple second-round picks to get off his contract. Maybe they could bring in another big, which is something I think the Knicks could use. I think he's actually more of a candidate to be moved at the deadline than maybe some of the young pieces, depending on how the organization feels about him. But with Yabusele, I think he's still a good player. I just don't think it's been a good fit in terms of what Mike Brown wants and how he's running things offensively and defensively. And, you know, sometimes it happens. He's a taxpayer mid-level exception guy, so it doesn't hurt the Knicks as much. But I do think if he continues to play somewhat well in the minutes that he's had recently, that could make him maybe more attractive to another team, looking to acquire some picks, take on a salary, and maybe the Knicks are able to move off of him before the deadline.
All right, so the Knicks are off tonight, but then they come right back Friday night at the Garden against Atlanta and go back-to-back with the Sixers coming in on Saturday. So after three on the road, they got two at home. And then a pretty big game on Monday night. They're playing the Pistons in Detroit. Pistons have been the best team in the East since the get at the start of the season, and the Knicks have been the solid second-best team in the East. I know it's a regular season game, and we haven't even gotten to the midway point of the season, but I think the Knicks and the Pistons have kind of separated themselves. I know a really good week, a really bad week, and you can change that opinion pretty quickly, but as of what I've seen so far to this point, 30-plus games in, Detroit and New York are the class of the East. How important is a first week of January matchup against the Pistons?
Yeah, it's, you know, I know, and Joe, you know, we'll say this as having watched and covered sports for a long time, like, not going to sit here and call it a must win, right? But I think it's a big matchup because it's the first time the Pistons and Knicks will have seen each other since game six of the playoffs last spring. You know, the Pistons are going to be at home. They're going to be pumped up for this one. The Knicks want to show that they're the best team in the East. The Pistons are going to want a gun for the Knicks because they are the NBA Cup champions and all that stuff. So I think it's a big game. The games, what I'll put it like this. Games like last night against San Antonio, games like the Pistons, when the Knicks play the Thunder, the couple of times they'll play them. Celtics, who've been playing good ball despite without Jason Tatum, that'll matter. The Nuggets, the Rockets, those are the games you're really going to be evaluating the Knicks on, which will be bigger than the other ones because you want to see how they do against the best teams in the NBA. And right now, the Pistons are one of the best teams in the NBA. I do think when it's all said and done, the Knicks will be the best team in the East. I just think they're a little bit more balanced than the Pistons, particularly offensively. And we'll see if the Pistons make any moves. But I think the Pistons are going to come out with a lot of energy. I think they're going to want to make a statement. And so I'm intrigued to see how the Pistons come out. And if they come out strong, how do the Knicks respond to that in that matchup? But make no mistake about it, it's going to be a big one. I know Knicks fans have it circled on the calendar. You and I will be watching. And listen, I think the Knicks also, especially if they go into that game where they're behind the Pistons, they're going to want to, you know, show that they are the best team in the East. And so, yeah, it's going to be a great showdown. I look forward to that one on Monday night.
All right, last thing, Dex. Above and beyond, a two-point win to kick off NBA Christmas Day against the Cavs at the Garden. What's the best thing you got for Christmas?
Oh, best thing I got for Christmas? You know what? My sister-in-law got me, I'm a vinyl collector now. I've started collecting some records in the last couple of years, and nice. She got me a Best of Sade vinyl, which I wanted. And yeah, so I got that. And my gift to myself, I got myself some vinyl. I've been looking for Jay-Z's first album, Reasonable Doubt, on vinyl, and that's very hard to find. I got the original pressing of that. So those are my two gifts. I'm a music lover, so got those two. So those are good gifts. Love those.
See, now I could embarrass you and ask you how much you had to pay for Jay-Z's vinyl, but I won't do that.
What do you think? I'm curious.
I got no idea. I'm not as big a music guy as you are. All my vinyl is gone and melted and will never be seen again. So I give you props for being as dedicated a music fan as you are. I got no bloody idea. Just the fact that it is as old as it is and he is as big a market mover as he is, I thought it was going to be pretty damn expensive.
I got it in like very good condition. So not mint condition, but not in very good condition. It was only $200.
That's not terrible. I thought it might be more than that.
That's not terrible.
Good on you, my friend. Appreciate your taste in music. Appreciate your Nick insight with me today. Don't know when I'll talk to you again, but hope you have a great 2026, Dexter.
Mac, man, appreciate you, man. Miss doing updates with you. And, man, thank you for having me on and talk. Hopefully we'll do it again. Have a great 2026. Happy New Year to you as well. Thank you so much, man.
My pleasure. Dexter Henry, Knicks coverage for the Post, and you get him with an opinion or two if he sneaks on here on The Fan. All right, Jody Mac coming back. Final half hour, not even, I'll get as many calls in as I can. Cleared out the lines when I punched up Dexter. If you want to get in the last 20-plus minutes of the show, got to do it right here, right now. 808-1019. I'll take calls till the top when we get Nets basketball coming up before the hour comes and goes here on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.